Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ah, my guests are arrived. Come here, Miracle. You coming to answer the door with me? Yeah, come on. Hello. Welcome to Erskine Court. This way. She's here. You won't believe this, everybody.
Oh my fucking
God. Yeah, we don't want
God.
That on there. That's the point. That is the point I was about to make.
Yeah.
That I have spent in the interim while you've been waiting for this new series to start. I've been spending a lot of money on, what would you call it, technology?
Gadgetry.
And I've got, this should work, you know.
Oh my fucking God.
Right, and it's a little keyboard I've got next to me. Yeah. But of course, it doesn't work around me. Nothing ever works around me of a technical ability, apart from this lady.
Aww.
It's Linda, bloody Pollock. Say hello, Linda.
Hey up, everyone.
Oh, God.
I wonder if your psychic vibrations are interfering with the channels.
A good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I'll tell you what it might be. What I will say is the one thing that I did manage to program in was Linda's theme tune.
Okay, well, that's...
Linda Pollock.
Rude.
I did it as a joke. She's so lovely and fragrant and gorgeous. That would suggest she's a great big hippopotamus.
Like a fairy elephant.
Yeah. No, that's sort of the joke there. Right, what have you been up to, my love?
I've been dancing.
Oh, lovely. Dancing on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh. Which night do you do it? Most nights, probably.
It was a Saturday night.
Right.
And you had a little class beforehand, salsa dancing.
Nice.
And there was one man in the class and the rest of us were all ladies.
Oh, lovely.
So he got spread very thin.
Oh, that does sound rather...
And I'm not sure he didn't like it.
Oh! Right, that's enough of that. So he must have been exhausted by the end of it. Shaking.
He was a dried up husk.
He's not my friend Matt, is it? I tried to set up with someone.
No, sadly not.
Oh, was he quite a mover?
He was a little mover.
Not by the end.
He was, and it was his first time as well. Right. And let's just say he had a baptism of fire.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Because we were all women of a certain age.
Yes.
And let's say we haven't been dancing for some time and we were ready for it.
Oh, a lucky bleeder. Do you know what? There are all sorts of things you could do as an evening class, and I would say dancing is probably quite a good one.
I think it's good. It's exercise, but it's tricksy, right? Because it's not exercise that makes you feel like you're doing something that's a sacrifice.
That's it.
Exercise that requires a new pair of spangly shoes.
What I would struggle with is being bothered to remember the steps and counting and that sort of thing. When I've done various show business stuff before, you always get some sort of choreographer who say, are you counting in your head? And you're going, no, I'm not counting in the head.
Well, of course, the beauty of salsa, it is more difficult for the men. I'm going to say it. It was more difficult for the men because if you know the steps, you're just doing the same footwork most of the time.
Right, okay.
But it's the man who dictates which way you go. So you're going to spin around. You're the one that decides that you're spinning around.
Very old-fashioned.
But it was lovely. I do have a newfound respect for the amount of work that the men have to put in because it's all, you have to change your hold, right? It's like changing gear.
Okay.
Whereas we just keep our feet moving and look
pretty. Yeah, that's it. I want to say this, that I think it's a very good thing to do as an evening class. There's all sorts of things you could do, boring things, accountancy.
Yeah.
I looked up because I was thinking, if I don't want to do salsa, there's urban beekeeping. This is all stuff at a local, college of further education.
I think that sounds lovely. You can be at one with the bees.
We'll get on to spooky in a minute. I've got a friend of mine, John Price, who lives in Wolverhampton, and he is, this is no word of a lie, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, his job is to, it's accidents on the railway. And it's all a bit grim, but he is setting himself up as a beekeeper. And that's going to be his hobby very, very soon when he retires. And why not?
No, definitely.
Don't you think? You think that would be lovely.
But although, do you know, I think it's a shame to leave it till you retire. Crack on now. You never
Absolutely.
Know what's going to happen.
When my brother was at school, I always remember him saying, you know, that a bloke came over to talk about honey making.
Yeah.
And it's always, whenever anyone talks about bees and honey, I think about honey, because the bloke who turned up described it as honey.
Honey.
And you know what schoolboys are like?
Yeah.
They kept saying, excuse me, sir, could you tell us about the honey? And he didn't, you know what they're like, horrible children, aren't they?
Yeah, we had a fella come in, a very ardent man who'd been through a lot in his life,
yeah.
and he was telling us about homelessness. We were awful about that. That's terrible, isn't it?
Isn't it horrible? Just repeating the way he said homelessness. You get the honour. Anyway, the other things you could do, fermentation workshop. This sounds bloody horrible.
Oh, God, well, that's just like controlled rotting.
Isn't it? Kimchi and all that.
Although I've had a jar of kimchi in my fridge for ages, right, because... apparently, just a spoonful of that a day will work miracles.
Keep people away from you. You won't be catching it.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
But it's so horrible.
Isn't it?
I've just had it in the fridge for ages, but I don't suppose it matters, does it?
It stinks. It absolutely stinks. Drone racing is another thing you can do locally to me. Mostly attracts a certain type of person, doesn't it?
I bought a drone back in the day, right? Mm. It was quite a cheap one, and I bled over the instructions as a result of my cheapness, because it was just kept chopping at me. Every time I put it up, it was like...
It got me.
And it had a camera on it, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get some beautiful aerial shots. You know what I got shots of?
What?
Next door neighbour's bush and me over the fence with a fishing rod.
Spoon carving. Now, there's another evening class. Can I just say that I have taken to eating most of my food with a spoon nowadays.
Right.
Only because...
For simplicity.
You can get more of it in your mouth.
Oh!
If you live on your own like me, you know, me and Tarawa, he uses a stick to eat his food.
If he uses anything at all.
If anything at all, he only eats fish as well. But I do like a spoon because it will get... You can shovel more in, I find.
What size spoon are you using? Like a ladle.
Oh, good point. Yeah. A fucking massive spoon. Anyway, listen, I digress. Let's get on with the spooky. And this time of year, it's time for clearing out with the old and welcoming in the new. And this is from my favourite bloody publication, Fate and Bloody Fortune.
Peeking from beneath my duvet, I saw a figure standing at the bottom of my bed. A kind, familiar face looked down at me. I know you can see me, my grandfather said, and he was right. At 15, I'd seen spirits for years. My grandfather had passed. But I knew it was him. Please tell the family I'm happy and at peace, he said. I did just that, and it brought us all huge comfort.
I'd sensed these things for so long, I didn't even realise it was strange. I thought everyone could see spirits and feel energy shifts around. That's what I always thought.
Mm.
I would sense drops in temperature, see swirling colours and deeply understand other people's emotions. I was a good judge of character too. Why would anyone want to write to him, I'd think, when Jim'll Fix It came on the TV. Goodness gracious. I knew something wasn't right with the host.
You can say that again, bloody hell.
Yeah, Christ.
Mostly, though, my abilities didn't bother me. That is until I was visited by a particularly scary spirit. Please don't show yourselves to me anymore, I begged. For a while, I stopped seeing spirits at all, and as I got older, I chose to ignore my abilities. I got married, had a daughter, and worked for a range of cleaning companies. A colleague and I then set up our own cleaning company around the turn of the millennium.
We did. Millennium.
Millennium.
We did. That's a bit like homelessness.
Honey.
At the honey millennium, we didn't have much at the start, but poured our hearts, souls and plenty of elbow grease into our new venture. We'd spend our days walking door to door to find work. This is graft. In the evenings, I began tuning in to my intuition.
Dirty get.
Dirty bastard. I knew what I wanted and I felt sure the spirits could help me get there. I would use goal settings and manifest the success I wanted. I'd pull cards and ask my guides to share their wisdom. with their support, I made every business decision based on what my intuition told me. And it worked.
Within 6 months, we'd hired our first member of staff. Soon, we were a multi-million pound commercial cleaning firm.
Oh, yeah, chin wag.
Using my spiritual senses in business had worked out, but could it happen the other way around? Could I use cleaning to support my spiritual work?
Bit dry, this, isn't it?
Yeah. About 7 years ago, my mediumship abilities came crashing back with full force. I could see spirits not only related to me, but to others.
I began giving readings to clients alongside my cleaning work. I just don't know what to do about my relationship, a woman said when she came in for a reading. I listened to the guides and felt them saying she needed to physically declutter.
All right, I see. So is the answer always going to be, what you need to do is hire me to clear out your house?
Yes, that's what I think. I think it's a bit of a gimmick. Turn the music off. I think it's a gimmick and it's a bit limited. It's all to do with cleaning, isn't it?
Yeah, which... funnily enough, I have a cleaning company. I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, declutter. Time to get the skid marks of your subconscious off.
It's time to dust off those dancing shoes and the rest of the cupboard.
Now, I was thinking about this because this is true and I forgot all about this. I used to have a psychic cleaner called Martina.
Oh.
Yeah. Martina the cleaner. And she was there one day and I was doing a little bit of work on me. We'll get back to this in a minute. I digress. And I was doing a little bit of work.
She'd change your bed sheets and go, oh, you're a bit lonely, aren't you, Clinton? Uncanny.
I was doing a bit of work and I said, oh, look, I'll pop out in a minute and get your cash. Because I did pay her cash,
yeah.
You know. And I said, I've got to pop out. I've got to go to the doctor. I was after a cholesterol test, right?
Right.
Okay. And she went to me, I kid you not, Martina the cleaner, with a bog brush in her hand. Mm. She stood there and she went, I have a gift. I can't tell if you are not well. And I was like, tapping away on my keyboard. Oh, yes, that right. Am I all right then? And she went, no. And I went, sorry? No, you are not. You are sick. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What? Sorry, what do you mean?" She said, oh, no, I do not have the words. And I was like, yeah, well, can you try?
Yeah.
Can you try and have the words, love? You mean, I'm a psychic clairvoyant medium. I couldn't pick up on that on my, you know, on my own behalf. So she said...
And where was she from? Clitheroe?
Yeah, and so she said, oh, yeah, something wrong. She said, you're very tired. You are very tired. And I want to say, yeah, I'm very tired. You stood there with the fucking toilet brush talking to me about psychics. Go clean the bog. Anyway, she said, my brother, he can't tell. I thought, look, am I going to have him here at 50 quid? But I did go to the doctors on Martina's advice, and this is what happened. They went, to pick up my cholesterol results. And the woman, you know, they're like psychopathically rude in the fucking... You know, I didn't even see the doctor. This is the woman in the waiting room.
Right, yeah.
She says to me, it's a bit high. And she just went, six. And I said, what does that mean? Out of what? She said, just six. It's a bit high. And I went, isn't there two? I thought there were two reasons. She said, we don't do that no more.
Oh.
So, anyway, and I think I'm probably a bit higher than six now as well, to be perfectly honest.
Bloody Nora, so Martina, get Martina back, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that is the point. I think this person possibly is just trying to get a little bit more work.
It's called, isn't it called like a side sale? Or what is it called?
Side hustle.
No. When you, like, you know when you go to WH Smith's, right?
Yes.
It used to be just books, didn't it? Oh, now, yeah. You go and pay and they say, would you like a massive bar of chocolate for £1?
Oh, that gets on my bloody nerves. That does.
What's it called? Like a side sale or an additional sale? Anyway, yeah. That sounds like a very slick version of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also involving her brother who turns up and what? You know, sticks his finger where the sun don't
shine. Unless her brother was already there and what she was saying was her brother in spirit.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the language because he speaks in tongues or something like that.
Yeah.
Or in Slovakian, Slovenian or whatever.
I mean, have you still got her number? It sounds like she had some quite important messaging.
I got a bit sick of her after that. Reported her to the Inland Revenue. It's always cash. I'm joking.
It was immigration.
Anyway, listen. This is... Do you remember last time? I got it slightly wrong. I said we had a new feature.
Yeah.
For episode two, which we didn't. It's now for this one, for episode three. And it features... Do you ever remember Professor Joseph Lane?
I like him. I like an intellectual man.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
To up... up the intellectual quotient.
Finally, some science.
Exactly. He is an extraordinary person, born in Wisconsin, spent some time in New York City, in Jersey City, now lives in Leicester, where he's the head lecturer in astronomy at Foss College, former member of BUFORA, the British UFO Research Association, and ICUR, the International Committee for UFO Research. Fascinating person. Mm. Now, he seemed to me to be the perfect person for the Clinton Baptiste Paranormal Podcast, since the mysteries of the universe are very much... they're all part and parcel of the same
thing. Yeah, exactly. How do you know it's a ghost, not a grey, what they call it?
A grey, as they're known. Yeah. Anyway, this week he made contact with someone at the Ministry of Defence, a wing commander, Freddie Ann Strummer Elliott, who has some knowledge of aerial traffic in UK airspace. Have a listen to this. Absolutely fascinating. Ooh.
This week in our series of reports on UFOs, we've learned a number of things. That not everybody who sees a UFO is crazy, that our government has lied about UFO information, that it's withheld UFO files, and even spied on UFO witnesses.
Are extraterrestrials making contact with Earth, or is it something else?
And yes, he believes that beings from other planets have been intimate with him.
While the United States officially denied investigating UAPs...
after more unidentified objects...
First, there were three glowing orbs, and then there were five.
I'm trying to speak to Wing Commander Elliott. Is that...
I'm Wing Commander Frederick and Strother Elliott. I am SA-1, Non-Specific Aviation Operations.
Right. Okay.
How can I help?
How do you do? My name is Professor Joseph Lavens. I'm head lecturer at Foss College, Leicester. I'm an expert on UAPs. What my contention is that we have been laboring under a misconception. The environmental issues have been clouding the real danger to mankind. In short, there's a mathematical certainty, 961 moons in our solar system alone. And that my contention is that we are not the only form of life in the galaxy. I have plenty of evidence, and I wanted your take as a wing commander of the sort of thing that the MOD is tracking currently.
I look after non-specific aviation operations, so anything that doesn't really fall within the orthodox is probably something like that. But we don't have a particular line on it. We're here to investigate where appropriate.
Believe me, sir, I know you don't have a line on it. I know that. You've been obfuscating, and the MOD has been anything but cooperative.
I wouldn't say we obfuscate.
Right.
We rationally look at possible explanations, but obfuscation's a fairly strong term.
Okay. What about if I said Rendlesham Forest to you, for example? I mean, I think that was pretty.
I think that's been more than proven to be a fake over the years.
Right. Okay. Well. Okay. Well, let's not be drawn on that specifically.
I'm more than aware of conjecture around the world, Roswell, and all this kind of guff that goes on. But really, I'm here to deal with the hard and fast, the rational.
Right. Okay. And what is rational about Area 51? Please tell me how do you explain that away? I mean, I just want some context, Wing Commander. I'm a member of BUFORA, the British UFO Research Association. I've been studying for many, many years now. I trained in Wisconsin. I have a professorship in physics, and I'm telling you that I don't have to tell you. You know very well the sort of parameters within which we are both working, and I think it's disingenuous of you to refer to it as, I believe you just referred to it as guff. How about the MOD come clean on some of this stuff?
Come clean on what?
Well, I've mentioned Rendlesham Forest. I mean, if you're going to come on the show.
Rendlesham Forest has been shown to be nothing more than a fake, and I think there's enough evidence out there to back that up. Look, I've got nearly 5,000 hours of flying. Put this into context of the United Kingdom. So every year there are 484,300 domestic flights on average. Okay. So break that down further. We have, I'm not allowed to release a number of military movements, but anything from 8,000 military flights from per year from one base. So there's an awful lot of materiel physically flying around the sky.
Okay.
And I've seen numerous things in the sky that I couldn't explain. Turns out a lot of them were reflections. A lot of them were satellites. You've only got to look at Starlink that your man, your Tesla chap's been doing. And you start to realise just how full.
Are you done, sir? Are you done?
Well, I am for now, yeah.
Chicago O'Hare Airport, 2007.
Yeah.
That is something the government, they tell us they have persistently failed to look into. They say it's a blimp. It's a non-rigid airship, like an airplane. Cloud formations.
Ventricularis cloud, absolutely. It's responsible for at least 50% of all sighting.
Lake Missouri, 2001. I'm to be taken seriously. I don't know whether you've read my book, Ufologistics, Deny to Deceive 2.
I've seen
an alien. And all right, sir, I don't want to do this now, but have a listen to this. Right? Listen to this.
What is that baby doing?
Well, I don't know. It may look like it's moving around.
I see two of them. Moving to the west. Slowly. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on up there? There's two of them.
Look.
Right.
What do you make of that, sir?
What was it?
I think it was self-evident. This was Florida, 2013, and those were people who had seen a UFO.
A Chinese lady, you saw one too.
Aliens. It sounded like a load of noise. That's not evidence in any way.
This is typical.
Nor am I here to disprove aliens exist. We recorded all sightings, all abnormal activities going on in our airspace. And quite frankly, you could play anything down the line and claim it was something. But that doesn't.
Okay.
I'm not here to dismiss your qualifications or your background. But the simple fact is that could be anything.
Right.
Absolutely anything. What do you want from...
Okay, this is what I want from you. I want you to deny or confirm my firm contention in my book, and I'm very well published, that sometime, maybe, I don't know, 40,000 years ago, an alien came down, mixed in our environment, a human environment, in our atmosphere, and done it with a monkey. Done it up a monkey's, I know I use it, done it, stuck his dinkle up a monkey's front bottom. And that's how human beings came about.
Hello, sir?
Stuck it up a fence.
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about now. It sounds
an alien done it with a monkey, and that's how we.
You're a professor. I respect you as a professor. You've come on here to have a rational chat. I've told you about the simple facts that we face. There are numerous things in the sky. There are numerous things lit up. There are numerous reflections, meteorological conditions, such as Lenticularis, as I've spoken before.
Lenticularis.
But these are tangible things to look at and wonder what they are. It doesn't say they're aliens.
It's stuck his dinkle up a monkey's fan, and you know that. That's how we came about. Thank you.
Professor.
How do you account for the fact that there are monkeys and there are human beings? A monkey done it with an alien and vice versa.
I'm not going to quibble over Darwinism, but the simple fact is you rang me up to discuss.
Yes, I did.
Aerial activity. We've discussed that. Okay. I don't know what a monkey's bonbon is. I've no experience of it, and quite frankly,
it's front bonbon, and you know what that is.
What do you want from me?
I don't want anything. Forget it. I don't think it's going to work. You're disingenuous, sir. Thank you.
Thanks to the Ministry of Defence for permission in using this clip. If there's one thing we like to offer on this podcast, as you well know, It's advice, isn't it? It's emotional advice.
Yes.
It's familial advice.
And we will offer you advice, but it would appear that that offer is pearls before swine, because you'd much rather write to some grifter in a magazine who's going to tell you he's going to swing a pendulum or stick his knob in the air and see which side gets drier quicker, all that kind of stuff. You'd rather count on that as advice than us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, every single week we ask you, don't we? Please, 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 you know, why won't you write into us?
Pump us for info. We
Come
love
on.
It.
We know a lot, and particularly Linda knows a lot because...
Yeah, because she's a witch.
And she does know things. So this, in the meantime, is TV Psychic and Spinach on Love Count, Dean James Fox. Is it really? From Chat, Take a Break, what's it called? Fate and Fortune. He gives advice on soulmates and sex.
My lovely son, who's 19, has got himself a new group of friends. I know they take a lot of drugs and I don't like them, but my son insists they're fine and they make him laugh. It's not them making you laugh, love, it's the mushrooms.
Right.
I'm so worried he's going to be led into a world he just doesn't understand, and I feel powerless to stop him. Is there something I can do to fend off any bad energy that might come his way? Marie, 40 of Birmingham.
Come on, get a grip, love. Why would you write to him about that? And this is what Dame James Dean Fox says. I can tell you are worried his new mate will impact his chances of finding a positive life partner.
She's not mentioned that at all. She's worried about the amount of drugs they've... shoving up the roots every week.
That's right. Nothing to do with that, James Dean Fox. Has she mentioned that? Marie Forty's not mentioned that at all.
No.
Try this simple ritual, which has nothing to do with that. This is what his solution is to someone who has a drug problem.
So meanwhile, her boy is out raving and his mum is doing this.
Walk around the home with a white smudge stick.
That's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing up his hooter. As you enter each room, say smoke, air, fire and earth. Cleanse and bless this home and all connected here. Drive away harm and fear. Only positive energy may enter here. Terrible poet. Let the white light of love shine and give blessing to the future rather than disappearing up your schnozzle. I open this space to love and affection. May all positive energy give you an erection. Oh, sorry. Around me, benefit my space. May it come with compassion, forgiveness and truth.
What a load of shit. What you need to say is, let me think. I'll come up with one.
Yeah.
What about bless the bees and bless the bugs, keep my lad away from drugs.
Drugs, yeah. What about, hold on. I'm not visiting a therapist or even a quack. Hopefully he's not hoovering up tons of gack.
What about...
we are honestly just coming up with this. This is the genius.
I wash this floor with dirty rags, make him stick to disco fags.
Yeah, exactly. Disco fags, exactly. Anyway, repeat this once a week for 4 weeks.
And it will do fuck all, but you'll feel like you're busy.
Remember, when using smudge sticks, to carry them in a fire-resistant bowl.
Oh, safety first.
Safety first. Never mind your poor lad who's going off the edge of the cliff on grade A drugs.
Yeah, don't tell him about, you know, staying hydrated and making sure he's with people he's comfortable and safe with. Don't tell him that.
No, not that. Just walk around with your smudge stick, fucking idiot. And also, why don't you go to the police while you're at it? Anyway, now here's the next one. This is Angel Mystic, yes. Amanda Tuck. She connects with your angel helpers to bring you success and abundance.
And she's got hair like... Do you remember the Lego movie? Remember Wild Style?
Oh, yeah.
She's doing that blue-pink thing.
The question is, will I lose weight for my son's wedding?
If you're asking someone else, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that's right. You have to do that, yeah.
My son is getting married in May to a lovely girl.
Jolly good.
The venue is very posh and I want to look and feel my best, which means losing a stone in weight. I've tried every diet under the sun, so I'm wondering if this time I could ask the angels for support instead. What do you think? Oh, Paul, at 56, Winchester.
Now, this is the answer, right? And I'm waiting to be shot down in flames by you, Linda. When we're asking our angels for anything, we need to get clear on two things. why we want something and how it could make us feel. I would encourage you to explore these questions in a journal. Ask your angels to help you delve deep and understand what's really going on here. When you have your answers, you'll be ready to ask the angels not only to help you lose weight, but also to clarify why you want it so much.
Yeah.
And how it might feel when you've achieved it. So what she's really saying, this lady, is do you really want to... And
I think that's fair enough, actually. If you're trying and failing, you're the one getting in your own way, arguably. Why?
Except Amanda Tuck, I'm looking at a photo of her now, right? She's a larger lady.
Yes, but maybe she's got different priorities.
Yes,
you know, I worry that women always feel like they have to conform. What you, you're this person's mother. They're going to be happy. That's what you look
all right,
like.
Okay.
Ask yourself why you would feel better if there was less of you.
Right.
Ask yourself that first. I mean, it's fair enough if you really will feel better and you want to do it for health reasons and stuff. But if you're trying and failing, I don't know, I wonder whether there's something deeper going on.
Right. You can say that, and there's clearly something deeper going on with Amanda Tuck. She's quite a large lady. This woman has written in, and she's gone, I want to lose weight. And instead of offering practical solutions, Amanda Tuck is going, oh, do you really want to lose weight?
You think she's making it personal?
She's making it about her, Amanda Tuck.
Oh, I thought she was being sisterly.
I think she's going, you really want to ask yourself why you want to lose weight. Well, I tell you why, because they're at a very posh venue. She wants to look and feel her best.
What would your advice be, then?
Stop eating so much. How about that for a kickoff? Next.
I think, here's the thing, in the run-up to a wedding, it's a very stressful time.
Yeah.
Why don't you incorporate something that you will enjoy that will give you a little bit of head clearance space?
Yeah.
Like, you've got a lovely, what is it, son or daughter?
Yeah.
Why don't you schedule in a couple of times a week, you both go for a walk and a chat?
Yeah, or just tuck into the fucking wedding cake before anyone's even... be done with it. Come on! These things require a bit of effort. It's not just sitting there going, well, do you really want to lose weight? Yes, I do, actually.
I don't think she does, though, if she's tried every diet under the sun. She tried it.
Sorry about this, folks. The lady who's written in is saying, I've tried everything under the sun, and I'm wondering if you could ask the angels. She wants support. She wants support.
She wants a magic wand, is what she wants.
Well, and I tell you what, Amanda Tuck is not even giving her anything. She's just saying, do you really want to lose weight? Yes, I do. Thank you, Amanda. Right, next. Anyway, listen, do you remember a while ago we had Angelos Epithemia on?
Yes.
And he gave us sounded clearly like it was a made-up ghost story just off the top of his head.
Did you really expect anything else?
Well, I've had him back again this week and he's got another ghost story.
Of course he has, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am delighted to be joined by Angelos Epithemiou, who you will remember from, I believe it was the last series, wasn't it? Series 5, where you were here and we did, you told a story.
I wasn't here, I was in the graveyard.
The graveyard, yeah. You were, well, I mean, you were here on the show.
Yes. And here on the show.
Okay. Yeah. And we did a story, which. I don't know whether you'd sort of exaggerated it or just...
Well, it wasn't true.
You made it up.
I made the story up because I wanted to be on the show and tell you a ghost story because I thought that's what you'd ask me to do that.
Yes,
so I said I would do it, and that's. But I didn't have one, so I made it up.
Well, we don't deal in untruths here. What we're trying to do is. Well, proffer up stories of the supernatural.
I know it's what you're doing, so that's why now with the story I've got now is definitely what happened.
Right. Okay. So let's prevaricate no more. Linda, put on the spooky music as we give you Angelos Epithemiou with this time. Well, a true story. Thank you.
Okay. So I was in the bus, right. On Tuesday, okay?
Right, yes.
And I get off the bus where I usually get off. Nothing different about the day. Everything is exactly how it normally is. And I get off the bus and I walk down the road into the newsagents, as I do. And I says to Manjay, I says, can I have a packet of fags? He goes, yes, he knows the one I want. He knows the brand. I like the one with the picture... Anyway, he gives it to me, and I go out the shop and I open up the fags, right?
Yes.
You just pop open and take off the silver foil, and this thing goes.
Right, I'm just turn off the music. I'm gonna stop you there. What do you? There's a ghost in a packet of fags. Is that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really. That's. Have you made that one up as well?
Yeah, I have made it up.
Right, okay, well, have you got a proper one, not because you did say...
Yeah, well, I was joking about that one. So I was in the shop.
Right, this is real, this one.
Yeah, this
right,
one okay. is definitely Music. Real, right? I was just joking there.
Okay.
I was in the shop and I thought, I'm going to get GQ magazine because I like those lifestyle magazines, right. You know? They really speak to me, you know? So I put it on the counter and I pay for it, and Manjo says, oh, it's unlike you to get that magazine, right. Angela. So I says, right. I know, but I'm into it now.
Yeah.
I get it and I go outside and I sit on the bench. I open it up and this thing goes... And
right, I'm going to have to stop you again there. Linda, just turn that off a second. I mean, well, and there's very little point if you're just going to, you know, make things up.
That's similar to the cigarette one,
isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but I was just...
Have you got anything to
Yes,
talk?
I have right, got okay. one. I've got one.
Right, put the music on again, please.
Okay, so I'm in the shop again with Manjo. Right, okay. I get a packet of... I get some beans, right?
Right.
And just the normal Heinz beans that I always get. Like, nothing different about the day. Right. And I go home on the bus and I get in the kitchen, I get the tin opener. And for some reason, I don't know why... I didn't use the electric tin opener like I normally use, the bzzz one. Right. I use my hand tin opener.
Right, okay.
My hand tin opener. Anyway, I managed to open the tin and then I pry it off the lid with the knife like you do.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, out of the beans, this thing goes...
Right, okay, let's just stop there. Thank you. I don't know why I bother with him, quite honestly.
I mean, there are flashes of sensibleness occasionally that give you hope. I can understand why you'd persist with him. He's on the surface. If you give him a chance, he's...
Yes.
Well, okay.
No,
well,
he had plenty of chances there.
Yeah.
My love, he had about three chances there. Now, the wet
one. He's very nice to that man next door, isn't he?
Who?
Barry. He's nice to him.
Oh, he's nice to him. He's nice to Barry. Talking of which, the wet wipe saga with our drains.
Oh, bloody hell. Is that still going?
Oh, my God. And this week...
What on earth? needs that much wiping?
We'll find out this week as Barry went upstairs to have a word with one of our neighbours, Irene Harding. She lives at number 5. Have a listen to this.
Irene! Hello? Irene, can you hear me? Irene! Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Irene? Hello, Irene?
Who is it?
It's Barry from downstairs.
Are you touching the door?
Touching the door?
Are you touching the door?
No, I've moved away from the door.
Where are you standing?
Well, how far back do you want me to stand, Irene?
What are you touching?
I have not touched... I touched the door with my knuckle briefly. Irene, it's all right. I'll wipe it off.
Yeah, have you got a wipey wipe?
No, can you put one under the door?
I'm not touching the door!
You put a wet wipe under the door.
Why haven't you got your own wipey wipes? We all need a wipey wipe.
Irene, this is what I want to talk to you about. We're having a bit of trouble. I know you're very keen on the cleanliness. We're having a bit of trouble with the drains, Irene. Have you been using wet wipes on your bottom, Irene? Clinton asked me to...
Oh, the devil himself, is it? The devil himself, Mr. Clinton Baptiste.
He's not the devil, he's the chairman of the Residents Association. Don't be silly.
Summoning up the devil, dancing around in the moonlight.
Summoning up the devil.
Naked and disgusting. Exodus 23, yeah. You shall have no other gods before me. I've seen him, I've seen what he does.
He's not claiming to be a god, he's a clairvoyant medium psychic. Nothing wrong with
it. Exodus 34:14. You shall worship no other god, for the
worship
Lord.
Worship no other gods.
His name is jealous, he's a jealous god.
He's not claiming to be a god. He's just the chairman of the association. Someone blocking up the toilet with
their arms up in the air. Put your arms up in the air.
Oh, Christ. Look, stop using the wet wipes. That's all there is to it. We're all going to have to pay for it.
No.
Jesus Christ. He's not claiming to be any sort of god. He's just a god.
Exodus 23, what? Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other god, for yeah. The Lord whose name is jealous.
Yeah, the Lord, yes, all right.
Romans 8:7.
Yeah, Romans 8:7, got it.
Is hostile to God, but does not submit to God's law. Indeed, yeah. It cannot.
You're a religious nut, you are.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Yeah, in spirit and in truth. Stop using the bloody wet wipes, Irene!
Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry.
Right, idolatry, yeah. Are you going to stop using them? Irene! Oh, Jesus Christ. Stop using the bloody wet wipes! Irene! I'll shove your organ up your ass!
Ladies and gentlemen, the podcast would not be complete without hearing from Sandrea Mosses from Fate and Fortune magazine, where this woman, for anyone who doesn't know, can actually receive messages from people who are up in heaven.
Yeah.
And I've always doubted it. I think that's fair to
they
say.
Send sort of postcards from heaven, don't they? But it's more like postcards from a really shit holiday resort.
Exactly. This time, I think this one is a little bit more believable.
Okay.
This lady is Nanny Peg, and she's getting in touch with her grandson, Scott Wells, from beyond the Celestial Veil. Could we have the spooky music on, please?
Yeah.
Nanny Peg begins from heaven.
I couldn't settle at first when I came over. Ilan, ooh, great Ilan, ooh.
Ilan, my guide.
My guide tells me it was because I could feel the love of the family missing me and this was pulling me back. When I lived, I never realised how psychically connected I was to my family. I would feel what you felt and I thought it was that I cared, but it wasn't. I could feel your emotions.
I have so many friends, people I worked with in the past and family over here. I can spend my time with them all every day and have lots of fun. When we get together, we laugh and laugh.
As you know, laughter is the best cure for everything, not
cure,
necessarily, no.
What are they trying to cure if they're dead? I mean, you know, go on.
As I soon discovered when I came over that as we laugh and our body shakes, the shards of negativity dissolve and leave it behind.
That does happen. Okay. I do buy that. Ilan used this with me to try to get me to let go of old energies. You know, I did not forgive or forget very... You know, I did not forgive or forget very easily. I held on to my wrath, kept it tight and nurtured it. But all this did was to make me uptight. It did not serve me.
Is that a slight apology for being a bit of a crotchety old get before she went?
Yes, of course. But that's what happens up there. You do get a chance to look back at your... I know you're very cynical, Linda, but what... Yeah, what happens is you can look back at your life and go, yes, Nanny Peg, I was a miserable old cow.
Yeah.
But now I've gone up there, when I have a laugh, the shards of negativity disappear from me.
Right. Yeah, okay. Or she's trying to cover all her bases, is Sandria Moss's, and say, well, I know it was a little bit, but she does love you, really.
Yes, I suppose so. And she may not have laughed much in real life.
Ilan started off focusing on laughter. I would meet my friends and laugh and then laugh some more. Sometimes when we stopped, we couldn't remember what we'd been laughing at, as laughter is infectious and once you start it, it spreads.
So is chlamydia. Once I had begun to release these shards, we moved on. It hurt me so much in those early months. I learned to release all that was binding me, Jesus. In a negative sense, to the earth plane. I needed to do this in order to elevate to the higher realms of heaven. These ties are like fine dark threads. The energy is embedded into the earth plane and attached to our chakras. This is all true!
Okay.
Which chakra will depend on the energy line? What?
Even you're questioning this one.
I don't understand what she's written.
For example, a mother's protective instinct is associated with the solar plexus region. Love matters are linked to your... No, it's your heart, apparently. Whereas relationships is the second chakra. I had attachments to all of them. Typical me, Scott. I never do things by half.
Don't take the piss out of her. She's dead. Anyway, as I released...
She'll be cool with it.
She likes a laugh.
She's seen the light,
She's like Steve Wright in the afternoon up there. She can't stop. Anyway, as I released them so I could climb, and boy, is that amazing. There are so many worlds here. Now, this is true. There's so many worlds here to visit. You could travel every day for 1,000 years and only begin to scratch the surface. Yesterday I went to the crystal realm. Who would believe it? Me visiting crystals. She's now sort of, you know, it's now a disclaimer for the right bitch she was on Earth. I am not advanced enough to go to the inner realms of this world, just the outer bits. No, that is true. You have to have some sort of membership scheme.
Yeah.
You know, you have to work your way
or
up.
Or ride a My Little Pony or something.
It's like a sort of McDonald's star system if you've been in there for long enough.
We landed on a crystal lake and there were lots of crystal caves. Oh, that would be painful.
Yeah.
And there were lots of crystal caves around the lake. You go to what you're drawn to. Well, I was drawn to Citrine, this amazing yellow cave. It was high enough to stand up in and turn around with my arms outstretched.
The colours varied from deep amber to lightest lemons. It was so warm and comforting. Now, I can slightly more believe this.
Right.
End of the scale. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, it does sound more believable than going fishing and just talking to the fish.
Yeah, that's it. I came out feeling so invigorated and refreshed and discovered it had been cleansing my solar plexus. The region Ilan and I had been working on. This was one of the best experiences I've ever had. But then again, I say that all the time up here.
Scott, you can visualise and visit these places too. The benefit is amazing. Looking back, I was too busy being protective. I wish I'd been better at telling you how very proud I was of you and all you achieved while I was on Earth and what you've achieved since I've moved on.
I think that's possibly true. She sounds like, in real life, she wasn't very nice.
Crunchy, I think, as a
bit
personality.
Crunchy, bit crunchy. You are becoming more confident in yourself and it makes me so happy to see how you are growing and evolving. Always remember, believe in you and others will follow that positive energy and believe in you all the more. Look out for me. I still come every day. Lucky her. At that age, sometimes telepathically through the magic screen. They've got all wraparound tellies up there, the magic screen, yeah. A lot. But more often in person, I breeze in and breeze out, hoping you will catch that gentle breeze and think, ah, Nanny Peg.
I wonder what it smells like.
All my love. From Nanny Peg. Oh, Christ.
Oh, dear, Nanny Peg.
Nanny Peg.
I'm glad she got some clearance once she was gone.
That's right. Anyway, now it's time for a fantastic comic.
Oh, can we not find out whether it was bollocks or not?
Oh, hold on. Scott says that was really interesting. So many things are true. Nanny Peg was very headstrong. And she was the matriarch of the family we all went to with our problems and issues.
Oh, see.
Nanny Peg knew what was going on with everyone. Fucking nosy. If I wanted to hear the truth about something, I'd go to...
She spoke as she found.
I think that's what it is, isn't it? No nonsense. Can we get on to Susan Murray? Or yeah. Do you want any more
qualification? No, I just wanted to know whether it was absolute bollocks or just a bit...
Well, hold on. It's a weird because I do often feel close by. When I sit in my living room, I've often felt a breeze and a strong smell of perfume my partner can't smell.
No, he won't admit to it. Good.
Was that you? No, Nanny Peg. Blame it on the dog. Could that be for breezing in? Wow, I really think it might be. Okay. Breezing in or blowing off. One of the two. Here's Susan Murray, a fantastic comic I work with this week. I am here with Susan Murray, the top class comedian. You're allowed to call it comedian nowadays. What do you call it?
I think it's just comic, isn't it? Comic or comedian?
Yeah, okay.
We don't need the feminine bit at the end because we're not in the 1970s.
No,
are
okay,
we?
All right.
You might be.
All right, it's apparently she's a top comic. Pardon me. Thank you, fucking Jermaine. And what I was going to say was I'm doing her gig on the 14th of May.
March.
Sorry, of March, right?
Don't get that wrong. Please.
I won't get that. The 14th of March, and that's at the Red Imp Comedy Club in Walthamstow. Are we still allowed to call it a comedy, or is there some other radical feminist word for that? Humour meeting. Right, here she is. It's Susan, and please tell me, Susan, I know you've got a really spine-chilling story. In the studio, Linda, please put the music on.
So in my flat, it's quite a long corridor right. to get to the loo. And in the middle of the night, when I get up for a wee-wee, I don't put the lights on because I don't want to wake myself up.
Right.
Because I'm a horrific insomniac.
All right, OK.
So one morning I got up and I didn't know what time it was. It's pitch black. And the other thing to note is I have a lodger who gets up really early for work, right?
Right, OK.
So I've no idea what time it is. I go down towards the bathroom and I see at the living room door is right adjacent. And I see a male figure darting behind the door, which is what my lodger would do if he was just wearing a towel around him because he's got a horrendous body and doesn't want me to see it.
Okay.
So I just went, Mark, and I went into the loo thinking it was my lodger. And he never answered me. And I thought, what? Who? What? Yeah. Is there someone? Is that Mark? I definitely saw someone. So I'm sitting on the loo and it's dark in there because the light's on the outside. And I'm sitting there thinking, I think there's someone in my house.
Oh, shit.
And I need to open the door and go out. So the door to the living room, the one he darted behind, was kind of ajar. It's about open by about 10 inches.
I have now finished.
Yeah. A lady's just come in to say we're about to start the gig. Go on.
Turn the lights down then, baby.
Which ones?
I'll redo it so you can edit it.
Generally the whole room.
So the door to the living room had been ajar, open by about a foot. You know, just enough room for someone to just dart behind.
Right.
So I'm in the math room thinking, oh, I've got to open the door, I've got to open the door, I'm just going to have to open the door. So I'm a very brave person. So I opened the door and I switched.
How do you wipe your bottom by this stage?
Well, luckily, when I shut myself, I was on the loo. So that was just well-timed, isn't it, really? Very fortuitous.
Without being too graphic, did it actually cause you to do that? I mean, were you that terrified, or were you
I just had a very quick wee. My body went into freeze mode because I was thinking, I think I've got a burglar in my house.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Of course. So. Yeah.
So I opened the bathroom door and I saw that the living room door had been closed.
Oh, God.
Whereas previously it'd been open.
Right.
So I ran down to the other end of the flat where my lodger was actually in his room, and I knocked on it, groped, and he said, Mark, I think there's someone in the living room. So he quickly got his jammy bottoms on, and he ran down, and bless him, to be fair to him, he ran straight into that living room.
God.
I went and got a knife from the kitchen.
Bloody hell.
And there was no one there.
Now, was there any exit routes? I mean, was there a window? Could it have been... Where do you live, my love?
Walthamstow.
Yeah, well, it could well have been someone burgling the place.
Checked all the windows, checked everything. No exit routes. No one had been out. No one had been in.
And when he came back out, did he say, thanks a lot, Susan? You know I've get up early for work.
And it was 3 a.m. as well. And he had to get
really?
Up like
that. Did he say, and you saw my body as well, briefly? Really?
Yeah.
And what do you put that down to? I mean, do you think it is supernatural?
Yeah. I think I definitely saw, I call him my 3 a.m. ghost, and in the past when I've got in late from gigs and I've still been up at 3 o'clock in the living room, my cat has looked at somebody walking across the room. You know, when their heads move and I'm like, what are you looking at, Ruby?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm going to bed. So I don't stay up at 3 o'clock, I go into my bedroom.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am a big, big believer in this. I am in touch with those beyond the celestial veil.
Oh,
so
can
I
you
think
ask
that's
them who
absolutely
it is?
Spirit? Ist? Who is it which hath been in Susan's house? Is it a flat or a...
Flat.
Forget that, spirit. Who is it who had been in Susan's flat in Walthamstow? Answer, please. I've got someone up there's going to put the word around and just see if anyone can come up with anything.
Stick a memo out.
Did you... I mean, have you... So you've experienced that since, but do you... there's no chance that you... I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate. You know I believe it. There's no chance you're half awake... You know, you've gone up for a wee. I mean, I know, as you say, you don't want to wake yourself up. Could you have been half dreaming?
No, definitely not.
And the door was open and then it was shut.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that as you're sitting on the toilet and you shut that door, it can cause a draft to pull the other one?
Never happened before, because I keep it open, I keep it ajar for the cat so she can go in and out. So that door is never closed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. It's Susan Murray. I'm a believer. Thank you very much. Linda, tell me what you're going to be doing now.
Well, you know, I've been trying to improve myself,
yes,
both inside and outside. Well, I'm going to concentrate on the intellectual. Obviously, the exterior is pretty much done.
Yeah.
I'm going back to school.
In what way? What
going
do you
back
mean?
Back to college. Yeah.
To do what?
Well, you know, I'm into cats.
Cats?
Yeah. Cat behaviour.
Do you remember earlier we were talking about worthwhile things to study in evening classes?
Yeah.
Cat behaviour.
I mostly want to find out why one of them is continually pissing outside the litter box. But I think just generally, I'm going to do something that I'm interested in, and it's cats, isn't it?
Well, thank God that this country can still offer up, you know, the ways and means to educate yourself.
It's part of the zoology department.
OK, can I just say, the country's on its bloody knees at the moment, Linda. You know, you could be learning something about, you know, how to keep things afloat.
Have you got any idea how much money there is in cats?
No.
People love the bloody cats. I'll pay for any old shit.
OK. Well, you heard it here first. If you want your cat to see...
become a pet detective.
No human beings are asking us for any of your advice or therapy.
Yes.
Maybe a cat wants something done.
Feline Fine with Linda Pollock.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to get in touch about that, perhaps Linda... Yeah, that's it. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Get in touch with us and Linda can tell you about your pets. All right? If she hasn't gone by next week. All right. Lots of love, everyone. We'll see you again next time. Keep spooking. Well... My thanks to Linda, Angelos Abathemiou, Susan Murray, Wing Commander, Freddie Anstrumer at RAF Northolt, and of course Lizzie Roper. Please join us again next week. And if you're getting this podcast for free on Acast, you're weeks behind. So join patreon.com/ClintonBaptiste and get it when it comes out. You understand? And now, a little bit of housekeeping. Right, listen. Please come to see me and Linda recording this podcast as live at the 100 Club, 100 Oxford Street in London, Sunday the 25th of June, doors at 6 p.m. Go on, it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, we're going to do this for the public. Live, might do more. Go to wegottickets.com, look for Clinton Baptiste, and we'll see you there, Sunday the 25th of June. Namaste, and never forget to ask.
Oh, whoa, 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 what's going on up there?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/ClintonBaptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading nail.